Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Thank you for your patience. Going a bit late today because Matt LaFleur went late. He just got done at the podium, wanted to hear what he had to say about the game, the Romeo Doubs situation, and all things pertaining to the green and gold. And now I want to talk to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV after a big win. And yes, it was a big win. That's a win. All wins are big. I know I talked about this with Andy Herman on Let's Talk Football. You can check that out here on the channel. But man, the amount of grousing and hand-wringing I see after wins in this year of our Lord 2024, they won the game. I understand there's problems and issues, and certainly those are all going to be addressed by the team and things to work on, etc. But man, enjoy the win. Enjoy the victory. The Packers won yesterday, and I hope people can enjoy that. Certainly, plenty to work on. And as Matt has talked about plenty of times before, always great to learn from victories rather than defeats. Certainly, you saw, you know, issues both on offense and defense. Packers have plenty to correct and build on. But they can build on it with a winning record, by the way, sitting here at 3-2. And, you know, they make their kicks. They could be undefeated. But ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all that, the Packers are in a good spot right now. And hopefully here with a couple games at home coming up, they can continue to build on that. But yeah, a lot of work to be done. And you guys know, I talk about it all the time, who you are in early October is never who you are in late December. You want your team to continue to build and develop and grow throughout the season. A lot of season left, as someone once said. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up already. Let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. That's right. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun at the link in the description of this video. Do it, people. You know you'll want to. You can tell me how awful I've been because, man, I knew on Sunday when I made the selection of Dontavian Wicks at over four and a half receptions, there was another option for targets. I should have gone with targets. I went with receptions. Corey made fun of me all day because of it, and he was absolutely correct. So get into some Prize Picks, people. Go on the link in the description of this video and then share them with me. Let me know, what are your picks, not only for the NFL, but all the sports they have on offer. Make sure you check it out. It is a lot of fun, even though I'm kicking myself after yesterday's game. What's going on, folks? People chatting it up. What's up? Starting off with Klaus. Thanks for the super chat, man. Tucker Kraft is a top five tight end and beer drinker. I mean, there's no doubt about that last part, especially seeing as what he has already done with David Bakhtiari in the beer drinking arena. But yes, Tucker Kraft is playing extremely well. Top five tight end. We'll see how the season plays out, but he's certainly announcing his presence with authority here in the first quarter plus of the season. Jocelyn, how are you? Thank you for the super chat. SoFi sounded just like Lambeau, even loud go pack go chants when Green Bay had the ball. Shaking my damn head. SoFi was an incredible SoCal paradise football vibe, though. I mean, Packers fans are just excited to see their team. Whether they're in Lambeau, whether they're on the road, yeah, they're going to be loud, even when the Packers are on offense, which they shouldn't be. But you know what? They're having a good time. They're vibing. I got nothing but love for fans that are hyped up. I mean, look, have you ever been to or ever seen a you know, European football game, football match, where they're chanting and singing throughout the entirety of the contest? Man, I love it. I just love when the vibes are up. I get it. You want them to be quiet on offense. I understand. But, man, people are having a good time getting into the game. I'd much rather that than, like, you know, some, past years where we've seen the gold package sitting on their hands, apparently, you know, doing crochet rather than cheering for their team. Seemingly, gold package has turned the corner in that regard, so I'm not going to get too crazy. But, you know, I like it. I like the fans are excited. Nothing wrong with that. Craig, thanks for you for the super chat. Very generous of you. Thank you, man. During watch party, you said our D-line is soft. How do you coach that out of players? Do you start sitting guys? Do you change up practices? So frustrating to see a runner gash for 6 yards on a one-yard play. It's tough because you don't want to kind of acquiesce to the idea that it's never going to change. But at some point, especially 5 games into a season, you are who you are. There are things that Halfley can do to hopefully mitigate some of that, especially on short yardage situations where maybe you can commit numbers, though once you start doing that, teams can play off of that. Maybe play action, boot action, get guys on the edge, leak concepts with the tight end, which we saw the Rams hit a big gain on. But at some point, you got to man up and be able to either hold your ground or even, God forbid, push the other guys around. And right now, especially in short yardage situations, that is not the case with the Green Bay Packers defensive line. Now, traditionally with this scheme, as far as I've read and talked to people who have coached it and have studied it, yeah, the idea is you want those guys up front to shoot gaps and create havoc. Well, I haven't seen a ton of that either. You know, we've seen a lot of guys getting pushed back at the point of attack or across the line of scrimmage. At some point, are we going to ever play on their side of the line of scrimmage? I mean, I'm just asking questions here because the tape supports what I'm talking about. It's a frustrating aspect, but some of it is probably because of the turn from one scheme to the other, what they're asking these guys to do. Maybe they're not perfectly built for it. I will say Devontae Wyatt certainly seemed like he is a good scheme fit. Now, of course, he was sat down yesterday. I don't think that help matters. But yeah, at some point you are who you are and you have to scheme around that. And I think that's what Halfley's figuring out here as we go along. Peter, thanks for the super chat. Are players in the game today too entitled? Ooh, I'd have to have a whole separate chat about this. I don't think so. I get what you're saying. Undoubtedly, this is regarding Romeo Doubs and that situation where sure feels like, I know ESPN reported that he will be back at practice on Wednesday. LaFleur addressed a couple of questions about it today, talking how he wants to keep those conversations private. He expects the team to move forward. I am fascinated to see how it plays out, especially in the locker room. But yeah, are players today too entitled? I think it entirely depends on the player. I think there are certainly players at pretty much all levels of football that you could say have been insulated, been surrounded by yes people, been told how great they are without ever having to work for it because of their God-given ability. But I also think you can see plenty of examples of guys who understand the concept of team and sacrifice and what it takes for, you know, 22, 53, whatever number of individuals to come together and work towards a common goal. I do not doubt for a moment that what we are privy to as far as guys' attitude, what they say publicly, maybe how they are acting differently behind closed doors, that's gone on forever in football, right? There have always been guys who are more talented than everybody else on the field. Certainly, we weren't privy to social media back then and what their ideas were as far as I need to be involved. We've certainly seen some of that at the wide receiver position in particular over the course of the last couple decades. But yeah, man, I don't know. Today's players too entitled, perhaps. But again, I don't think that's much different than we've seen throughout the course of sports history. You know, phenomenal players are treated differently and are held to a different standard because they are phenomenal and because they tilt the balance of the competition. You know, so yeah, I don't know, man. It feels like a really wide blanket statement to put on all modern players, to me. I mean, you guys, your mileage may vary. Jason, thanks for the super chat, man. I wonder if Jordan has one of the strongest arms in the league and his mechanics are just off. When he steps into a throw, he has so much power. In some off-schedule plays, you see glimpses of it. Yeah, no, I do not feel out of bounds saying I don't doubt for a second that he does not have one of the strongest arms in the league. I don't think there's any question that he certainly doesn't have as strong an arm as Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre did at this point in their careers, as far as like his number of years on the planet and in the league. Now, that said, I think when he does, you know, follow his mechanics, throw through his legs, as we heard Rodgers talk about so many times, he can generate a ton of power and can launch a football 100 million miles an hour through the air and over, like, you know, 70 yards plus, etc. But those things seem to be pretty inconsistent at the moment. There are certainly plays where he's got guys open and he just does not get the ball to them. Case in point, the very first throw to Dontayvion Wicks in this game on that look like a corner route, but I'm not quite sure if maybe he's rounding an out route. But I mean, Love puts it at his feet. That's a throw that he should make in his sleep. And if he steps into it and uses his technique, he probably can. So, yeah, I think he just needs to find more consistency in that regard more than anything else. On Culture, what's up, man? Tucker Kraft is him, and they're running the ball like it's the 60s. Only a matter of time before we get a Rock Report with Lombardi sweep quote. I hope you're right, man. And there was, yes, a play. What's funny is there were a couple plays. There was one in particular yesterday where they got Reed on that end around when he had gone in motion and then come back around. And literally they have Josh Jacobs out there as a lead blocker along with Rashid Walker. That was gorgeous to look at. I love me some play design where we've got dudes like your starting running back out there leading the way for your wide receiver on what looks like a Lombardi sweep. That was hot. That was hot. John Simitovich, what's up, man? Cooper with only 30 plays is criminal. Needs more. I mean, they're coming along. Look, this is something I talked about with Andy just a bit ago on Let's Talk Football. Much like the offense last year, we're seeing the defense come along. And I know there are some frustrations there. Certainly, you want to see a player who jumps off the screen, jumps off the field every time you watch him and Cooper. You want him on the field as much as possible. That will happen as the season progresses. The more he does, the more they trust him, the more he'll get out there. And yeah, I get it. I want him on the field as much as possible. We've seen him come along. It will happen. I suspect by the time we get to late November, he will be a mainstay on the defensive side of the ball. But hey, like I said, last year we saw the offense go through this where guys are making mistakes and he's undoubtedly making some mistakes. We've heard Matt talk about that a couple times. I think as the season goes along, you'll see him get more and more involved. And I cannot wait for it. Oh, I like this. Ralph, thanks, man. I think Gary and the D-line is cooked. Yeah, I disagree with your police work there. I think certainly you'd like them to be more productive, but it's a long season. Let's see what transpires throughout the year. I highly doubt what we're seeing right now is what we're going to be seeing in December. But maybe it is, and maybe Halfley is going to have to scheme around it for the remainder of the season. But I do think we're going to see continual improvement, and we're going to start to see improvement sooner rather than later. That's just my guess. Last Sun, thanks for the super chat. Not sure what a catch is anymore. 88 catches it going to the ground, but didn't maintain possession through the ground, but it's a catch? Hey, man, I just work here. Look, I hear you. I understand the frustration. They've changed the rule so many times in the last 5 years, I can't keep track. I've seen plays that I thought in all of my football watching forever and a day was a trap be called catches. And I've seen catches that I thought forever and a day were absolute, no question, he had possession. Oh, that's an incomplete pass. Man, I don't know, man. It really depends. It's so in the eye of the beholder at this point. They've lawyered up the rule book so badly that it can be interpreted any number of ways by any number of people. So, hey, shout out to Replay Assist yesterday for making sure that Matt didn't have to waste a challenge on that Tucker Kraft touchdown, the second one, the tight end screen. I mean, that was so obviously a touchdown, but somebody somewhere, apparently the official standing at the goal line, said, oh, no, it's not a touchdown. I was really not looking forward to an hour-long replay of what obviously was a touchdown only to be called, oh, no, not insufficient evidence, because that's what they hide behind. So I hear you, man. It's frustrating. But that's the NFL that they have constructed. Danny G, thank you for being a Care the G Club member. Appreciate you. Complimentary football wins games. Packers took advantage of turnovers yesterday. If we could now get them to score a little on a regular drive. Yeah, Danny, I'm down to score early in contests. Let's control the game. But to your point, yeah, great complimentary football. The things they didn't do against the Eagles in week one, they did do yesterday against the Rams. As far as when they took the football away, they punched it into the end zone. Complimentary football is a beautiful thing. Need more of it. And yeah, to your point, quote unquote, regular drives just need to be more consistent out of the gate. Got to stop shooting themselves in the foot. And I feel kind of ridiculous saying this again after last week, because this has been a theme, but man, until they change it, that is going to be the narrative. And that is going to be the discussion. Joe, thanks for the super chat. All road wins are gold. They've got to get four and you're probably in the playoffs. Is Love's knee why they're using shotguns so much? Good question there at the end, Joe. I know, shout out Pete Bukowski. He asked Jordan almost that specific question as far as the lack of a lot of the play action work that they did last season from under center, really kind of missing so far this year. Now, they did hit Reed on that big bomb out of under center play action, but their use, like last season, especially that last kind of 7-game stretch, they utilized the hell out of it. And it's been precious little so far these last 2 games since Jordan's come back. I suspect both Jordan and Matt have kind of punted on that question, but I got to believe, yes, that is playing into it. They are doing a lot from the gun. I mean, I want to say almost exclusively from the gun at this point. Hopefully, as the knee feels better, gets further and further away from the injury itself, the timing of it down there in Brazil, hopefully the knee feels right and they're able to utilize more, not just the under center kind of drop back play action, but also some of the boot action stuff that they can be really effective with, but they just haven't done any of it. I just think to your question, I think they don't want to put any stress on that knee. And hopefully as this year goes on, we'll see more of it. Thomas, thanks for the super chat, man. Love the youth potential, but I just don't see it with Quay. He seems to just wander in space, doesn't break down to tackle, and instinctually slow. Everybody's got a scouting report. I hear you, man. I get it. People just are done with Quay Walker. I've certainly seen it on our chats during watch parties, which I understand because it's during the game and people are frustrated. During the week, even, people are filling up my mentions and my chat here. Man, you can win with Quay Walker. I understand he's not an all-pro. I get he's not making huge plays, and I get he can get taken advantage of at times. But he also is active, does make tackles, and certainly has shown some aptitude as a blitzer and or pass rusher when he's called upon to do so. Man, the Packers won a Super Bowl with Frank Zombo. They can win with Quay Walker. And I know the very first thing people are going to say is, yeah, but Frank Zombo was this. Quay Walker's a first-round pick. I don't care how the player was acquired. I care about what he does as a member of the Green Bay Packers right now. I care about what he does down in and down out in the scheme, what he's being asked to do. I don't care about the investment in the player. That's done. I don't give a shit about how he landed on the field. I care about what he does on the field. And yes, sometimes it is frustrating to watch, but you can win with him in this scheme, with him playing exactly as he's playing right now. Hopefully he continues to improve. Hopefully we see more Edgerrin Cooper paired with Quay Walker. But man, the Quay Walker hate, I just think is out of control. I mean, I know I'm a realist, positive person, whatever. I don't care what divide you fall into, but man, like, no, is he Patrick Willis? Is he, you know, a great all-world, all-pro inside linebacker? No. And I do think he's playing out of position. I think he should be the Will. Said that all summer. I'm going to say it all year. But, man, you can win with Quay. I don't know. And that's the other thing. What is your solution? You're going to trade for somebody? Who's trading a quality inside linebacker? Like, people want to trade guys that are problematic or have a bad contract. They're not giving you some guy who's going to come in and be better than Quay Walker. I just, the Quay hate is a lot for me. It's just for me. On Culture, what's up, man? The way Goody flipped the safety room in one offseason is a masterclass. Truly. And now next offseason, he's probably going to do it at linebacker. See how I did there? Janice L., thank you for the very generous super chat. Really appreciate you. Hi, Aaron. Long time since I listened live. Here is money for all those times I couldn't ask questions. Sorry if this question has been asked. What is going on with Gary? During offseason, I heard how he was blowing up our O-line and how fantastic he looks. That is a very, very good question, Janice. And it's something that's been talked about a lot. I talked about it with Andy. I do think yesterday was better than it felt watching it live. Going back and watching it, there are a number of plays where he has a really good rep, but the ball is out of Matt Stafford's hands instantaneously almost, you know? I get that Gary is not winning as much as we would like him to, sitting on the outside looking in. I do think there's something to the idea that, you know, he's being asked to rush with his hand on the ground. He's been rushing with his hand in the air or standing up for his entire NFL career. Certainly seems like it's a bit of an adjustment for the young man. Now, that said, it's not an excuse. You got to win, especially when you're given one-on-one opportunities. There were certainly a couple plays where you could point, this questionable, he probably should have been flagged for holding on the tackle, etc. But man, and I thought Andy put this well. I mean, it's been, 12 games? 13 games, and he's got one sack? I mean, five this year. Going back to last year, it's like 12 games in a row, he's got one sack. At some point, you can talk about the scheme, you can talk about the opponent, you can talk about whatever you want on the outside, but this is supposed to be your premier pass rusher. He's got to start winning and getting to the quarterback. Right now, that ain't happening. And I wish I knew. I wish I had a better answer for you, but only he and the team can unlock that. And here's the other thing. I'm not giving up on Rashawn Gary. I think he's still got plenty to offer. He's got way too much talent to be so pedestrian. And again, there are plenty of plays in that game against the Rams that you can point to and go, he looks pretty damn good there. But the Rams had a really good play on. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands real quickly, which was very clearly McVay's plan throughout this whole game. And especially when they're rushing four, he is getting chipped. They are sliding to him. They are doubling him sometimes. So yeah, it's a tough row to hoe. But again, it's not like the best pass rushers in the league aren't dealing with all of that. They are, and they're still getting home. Rashawn needs to figure that out. No question about it. Steven, thanks for the super chat. Like Matt LaFleur says, we never apologize for winning. But good is not good enough when better is expected. We ain't Detroit. The standard is always excellence. I got faith we'll start humming. Yeah, of course. The standard is excellence, right? You call it Title Town for a reason. That said, titles are not won in October. It is a process. It is a very long season. And to your point, yeah, I expect they'll start humming. I hope they start humming heading into December, going into the playoffs. I don't want them humming in October. I want them building, growing, getting better as the year progresses. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Everyone railing on Wicks. He'll come around. Drops happen. Quay, on the other hand, I am pretty much done with. Every game, he's still playing bad. Well, I just did a whole Quay thing, so I'm not going to reiterate, but bad? I just don't think it's bad, man. Like, people point to PFF and all the percentage of, pass rush win rate and all that. I don't pay attention to any of that. You can win with Quay. You can play winning football with Quay. They have been, by the way. Bad. I don't know. I just don't see bad. Luke, how are you, man? Hey, Aaron, just joined. Does Kraft remind you of any tight end present or past? Just curious with his play style. I got to admit, he reminds me a little bit of George Kittle. I ain't too crazy. I ain't too nuts to say it. He's got a little George Kittle in him. Now, I do think, he's a ways away from reaching that status as far as recognition outside of Green Bay, but between his physicality as a blocker and his ability after the catch, passing game, the way he gets open, it's not too crazy a comparison, I don't think. High powered. Thanks for the super chat. Unhinged Packer fans, R-E-L-A-X. It's good to see Rogers Burner in the chat. Uncultured, thanks again, man. Some of today's fan base would have lost their minds in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, but I get it. Like, look, and I joke all the time about Entitled Town and the expectations and what have you. And to your point, you're right. They would have lost their minds. But they probably, some of them, wouldn't even be fans because the Packers would be losing and they would go become fans of the Chiefs or, you know, whoever, the 49ers, whoever's good and winning at the time, right? That's kind of the culture now anyway. But yeah, there's something to be said for the idea that you don't want to be taking it for granted. That's what yesterday was for me when I saw so much negativity immediately after the game. This morning when I woke up and checked my Twitter, it's like, man, they won. And I get that, like, it's not just winning, but it's how you win and you've got to dominate or else it's trash or whatever. Maybe that's part of just how we live now and the internet age. But yeah, the 70s and 80s hardened old folks like us. But that said, these kids today, to coin a phrase, they don't know any of that. They only know Favre, Rodgers, and winning. Or some of them, just Rodgers and winning, right? So then you get around to, you know, a transition to a new quarterback, a new regime, a new team. And the expectation is, yeah, we're winning. We win. And we win big. And we win a lot. So they're just, you know, prisoners. Well, I would say prisoners, but they're a product of a different environment. And I got no problem with that. The passion's still there. They're still passionate about the Packers. They just have a different kind of outlook and a different prism that they're looking through. Not like miserable guys like you and I who had to sit through Randy Wright. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Part of me says patience, but on game day, I totally ignore that. I want total perfection and dominance. I mean, Ed, that's pretty perfectly stated because I'm kind of with you. On game day, you guys watch, some of you probably watch Watch Party, and you know I can be insufferable with how upset I get about stuff. But yeah, during the week, and I remember years ago, back when I want to say 2 or 3 years after Cheesehead TV first started, we had a commenter who described me as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because during the week I was very analytical and kind of analysis driven as far as like, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is what they need to work on, but very patient with it all. But on game days, I was like, you know, a rabid animal and just threw all that out the window. So yeah, there's certainly the ability to compartmentalize your fandom, I think, no doubt. Uncultured, thanks again. With how Rodgers is getting hit behind the line, how soon before he goes from R-E-L-A-X to F this? I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens as far as a potential trade for Davante Adams, which is hilarious to think about because, man, Jets fans are frustrated with Rodgers now. Just wait till Adams comes in town and they think, oh, well, here we go. And then, like, he's targeting Adams like 80% of the time, regardless of coverage, no matter who else is open. Have fun, Jets fans. William, thanks for the super chat, man. People who complain about Quay must not have ever seen Hannibal Naivis play. Oh, wow, that's a pull. Talk about a random Packer. I mean, look, comparison is a thief of joy, and people see some really great linebacker play around the league. They see their guy not living up to that standard. I get it. But baby, the vitriol, it's a bit much for me. Peter, thanks for the super chat. Your assessment of Stokes' play. Oh, boy. Just as I got done talking about not trying to be negative, man, Stokes, I really hope Carrington Valentine is feeling better and is out there a lot more than Stokes is. God bless Stokes for getting out there, rebounding from the injuries. But man, he's having a rough go of it. He's seemingly struggling with the same stuff that he was struggling with before he got hurt a couple years ago. Those deep over routes, some of those outbreaking routes, man, it's hard to watch. Now, I know he slipped a couple times, and that's, you know, that is what it is. But, whew, baby, yeah, no, we need Valentine out there a lot more than we need Stokes out there. That's all what I'll say about that. Brad Jones was bad too. That's hilarious. All right, everybody, I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.